one thing that is consistent among churches is that no two churches is the same. So are the same is something like that. So hopefully I don't forget and step on anything. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. It has been a while, probably too long. it's been very busy. I wanted to take a couple minutes to go through a couple of different things. First of all, I talk to my mother-in-law and father-in-law far more than I talk to most of you, so I wanted to make sure that you all heard it maybe directly from me, I guess. I don't know. The current status, I guess, for us. I'm certain that you all know that we were in Tampa in October. We went down there to be with the BWM, Baptist World Mission, their annual conference. They have it in the north one year. They have it in the south one year. This happened to be the south year. And so we went down to Tampa to participate there. The kind of the primary purpose of being there was to go through the final processes of being approved by the board, which we did, and we were. So that was a blessing. It was a little bit nerve-wracking. In fact, if you ever want to go back and take a solid look at your entire life on one piece of paper, apply to be a missionary. I say one piece of paper, one document, I should say. That was probably about, 20, 30 pages. Background check, financials check, a credit check, I guess you call that, and your history. Everything about you, I know for a fact, I've never told my salvation story more times in 1 week period than I did that week. It's good. It's very good. In fact, you don't have to do that to tell your salvation story. In fact, I would encourage you to tell it to yourself or to your spouse or something like that, and just see how it comes out. There's a class that Westgate offers once a year. It's actually about a 9-month on Wednesday nights course, and we took that a couple years ago, 3 years ago maybe. And one of the things you have to do to pass the little course is you have to tell your salvation story in 4 minutes. And that's tough. That's tough, especially for someone who likes to talk. So that's a lot tougher for me maybe than some others. So, it's good. It's good to, I tell you, you know your own story. You've been there. But to hear yourself say it, the more you say it, the more you refine it, and the more it actually becomes useful to someone, you know, when you're maybe out and about talking to them. So if you haven't done that, I would encourage you to do that. So, so Baptist World Mission approved us. It was very stressful. Not too many times in my life I felt that stressed. but probably not for good reason, because, you know, you have 32 men that have doctorates of Bible of some sort in one room. And so the first day we show up when the conference started, we showed up on Monday morning, and we had nine o'clock in the morning. We had our first board, and it was just in front of three men, one of whom we've talked to quite regularly, had talked to recently quite regularly, and then the other, most of you have met, pastor, I guess not a pastor anymore, but Reverend Pat Delaney. He is the Southeast Asia director. He'll be our missions director for our field with Baptist World Mission. He's been here.
We had him here for one of our missions conferences.
More than once. He's been here a couple times. He's been here at least twice, I know, over the years. Reverend Pat Delaney, yeah. It's been a while, so you may not remember him, but he very, very fondly remembered my mother-in-law and father-in-law. So. That is a credit. That is a credit to this church and to them. So he was very happy when we sat down and started talking to realize who exactly we were and how we were related. And then he's talked about the time that he was here. With in fact, his wife went left, and his daughter, he and his daughter stayed here with Pastor for a couple days. So that's a blessing. He was a blessing to us. And that board asked us everything we know. Well, I say they asked me everything I know about doctrine. my wife got to sit there quietly and watch. And then that was Monday morning. Monday afternoon, we had another board. It happened to include one of my instructors at Maranatha, my missions instructor, in fact, from Maranatha, who's on the board, Dr. Love. He was in on that board, and that was a bit of a stressful board, a little bit more stressful than we had wanted it to be, or than we thought it would be. It wasn't doctrine, it was everything else, and they asked a lot of questions and even some ones that we hadn't thought through before, so it made us think. On Tuesday afternoon. Boy, it went fast. Tuesday afternoon, they had a full board meeting. All 32 of them in the same room, and they're like, "Well, it's after lunch was done." They're like, "Well, we figured it'd probably be about 1 o'clock." It was about 12:45 then. We're like, "Oh, okay. Well, we'll wait in the hall." And about an hour and 15 minutes later, as our stress had built, they finally invited us in, and we found out later that there was a reason that they had been discussing something, which was fine. It worked out very well. Anyway, they asked us a few questions, very few questions, they were very missions-oriented. That's why they're there. That's why that board is there. That's why it exists, and they were truly seeking missionaries to join and go to the field, and they're not looking to cut people out. They're just trying to make sure that you feel the same way they do. So, and make sure that you're fit mentally and physically and all that. So, it was a blessing. It's a blessing to be a part of BWM. So, we are very encouraged by them. They have been amazing already. They're helping us with a lot of different processes that any sending church really just can't do, because you don't have people that do that regularly, or you have a staff there that just does that. So financially, also with when you talk about visas and things like that, there's just a bunch of different things that they do. So if you don't have experience with specifically with around mission boards, we'll definitely talk about it. There's a lot of people at our church that had questions about what was the purpose of a mission board and all that stuff. So, and we, to be honest, have much more clarification having talked with them and sat through all that. So we appreciated that opportunity. And so we are officially BWM missionaries. And our first supporting church is Mid Valley Baptist Church. So we very, very much appreciate that. It's not possible with words to describe how we feel about that. So we very much appreciate that. Just an overview real quick of our next year. We have one meeting set already for next November, the first week of November. We have a meeting set in Pennsylvania with a church. We sat down at a table. There's a bunch of tables in this. This is a big church here down in Tampa. We sat down at this table. There was nobody else at the table, so we just said, okay, well, we'll sit here. You know, I want to barge in on someone else's table, you know? And we sat down, and we were just sitting down, and this other guy just kind of comes over, and he's like, hey, can I sit here? And we're like, sure, yeah. And we started talking with him. Turns out he's a pastor of a church. He was one of the board members. And he's a good German. His name is Volker Steckman, Pastor Steckman. He pastors a church in Pennsylvania in, what's the name of the town? I don't know. It's near Allentown, but doesn't tell me much because I know nothing about Pennsylvania. Northampton. Valley View Baptist Church. And he said, we ended up kind of by chance sitting at the same table with him three or four different times over the few days that we were there, and had pretty long conversations with him. His son-in-law and daughter are missionaries with BWM. They're on deputation right now as well. They just had a baby. In fact, our initial conversation with him was say, I have a grandbaby. I have my first grandbaby. He says, and they're coming here very shortly. I don't know when. He's like, I have not seen him hardly at all yet. He's 3 months old. And he says, oh, there they are. And they walked in the door. And we immediately said, well, we know what it's like. You're a grandfather. Go get your grandbaby. And he's like, no, you know what? He's going to get mobbed. I'm just going to let him, you know, make his way around. I'll find him later, you know. And we could see it on his face. He was not thrilled with that idea. But he was a good grandpa and let others hold him. But we ended up having this pretty good conversation with him through that. So he emailed us the week we got, or right after we got back, and asked us to come and preach for his missions conference next year. So we graciously accepted. That was it's a great opportunity. And then another pastor, another pastor that's on the board, Pastor Berlin. He is pastor in a Lansing area of Michigan. Came up to us with when Dr. Kennedy is our deputation director. He works for the board. He's the deputation director. He's in charge of all the deputation missionaries till they go to the field. And he was standing there talking to us, and this pastor came up and said, "Hey, I don't mean to interrupt. I want to give you my card, and I want to tell you that my church is kind of like Fort Knox. They won't let anybody call through. They don't let missionaries call through or anything." He said, "But if I give you my cell phone, you let me know when you're going to call, and my secretary will let you through." He said, "We will have you in our church whenever you can do it." And in fact, as soon as they confirmed to us that they had accepted us, we walked out of the conference room where we were at there, and he walked out with us and said, "Hey, by the way, thanks for being part of BWM, and make sure you get with me. We need to have you in our church." So, several other missionaries said that they have never had any of the board members say that to them. So I don't know why. God chooses maybe the weirdest ones. I don't know. So we are very much blessed by the Lord for that. So we had a third pastor also while we were there who's also a member of the board that asked us as well to come and gave us this card and said, "Give me a call. We will have you there." So then we had this about 2 weeks ago. We had an email that came out from our board from one of the staff members that said, "Hey, there's a church that has money and they don't have missionaries to spend it on, and they would like to have missionaries contact them." So I said, "Well, that's a weird situation. That doesn't happen very often." And I said, "You know what? They sent that out to the entire BWM missionary family." There's a lot of them, 200, what was it, 200-something, 270 or something like that, missionaries they sent it out to. So I said, "You know what, there's a lot of missionaries that are actively right now on deputation. I'm going to let it go." Well, so this was Monday morning, so I let it go, and then I prayed about it. And then I looked at the email again, and I realized it said, "This church is in Surrey, B.C. My first thought was, "Oh, so it's in Canada, okay." But Surrey, B.C. is just north of Seattle. And in fact, it's about 5.5 hours from our house in Woodburn. Drive, that is, not flight. And so my thought process is, all the missionaries we talked to, they said, "Where do you live?" And we said, "We're from Oregon." And they were like, "Wait, you're what? And you're here in Tampa?" And we said, "Yeah." And they were very surprised that someone from the West Coast was there. And we were like, "Well, do they not usually come?" They're like, "Well, it's not missionaries from the West Coast, so we don't know what that's like." And so we were very surprised. So we said, "Okay, well, we're from the West Coast. You know, that's I talked to several of them that said, I said, "Hey, I know churches in the West Coast. You know, let me know, and I'll give you their contact information. You can call them, see if they can set up a meeting." And every one of them said, "No, not interested. West Coast is too hard. I'm not interested in going out to the West Coast. It's way more churches per capita in the East and in the North. I can find meetings to keep me going. West Coast is too difficult. I end up way too spread out. I just can't get enough meetings to make it worth it." And I said, "That's fine with me. I may not leave this side of Colorado." So we'll see. So because of that, I thought, well, you know what? It's not only on the West Coast. Surrey, BC is also north of the West Coast. I don't know that anybody's going to want to go up there. So I'll give them a call. Turns out, I was put in contact with the assistant pastor who's in charge of missions for their church. And it turns out that in my conversation, he goes, "Well, where are you going? What's your field?" And I said, "Australia." He goes, "Oh, that's interesting. My wife's Australian. And in fact, we were married in Australia. Her family lives in Sydney." And I said, really? He goes, so we're always interested in missionaries that are in Australia. And he says, have you looked at our website? Well, it just so happens I'm the kind of person that likes to know things about people before I call them, so I had. And it turns out they have 48 missionaries that their church supports. I don't know to what level or anything like that. I just know that they have 48 listed that they support. And of the 48, they have none to Australia. I thought that was interesting. So I mentioned to him, I said, well, I did see your website. I noticed you didn't have any missionaries in Australia. And he said, yeah, we're always looking for a missionary to Australia. We haven't actually found one yet. And I said, well, that's good. Here we are. And he said, well, send me, you know, your information. He wanted to, you know our statement of faith and all that stuff. So I sent that to him last week, and he replied saying that he really appreciated it, felt like we were of like faith, and they would like to have us come up for a meeting. So they're going to set that up. He said, when do you want to do it? And I said, well, it's 5.5-hour drive. That's closer than Medford, by the way. So I'll drive up whenever. So you let me know. So what we got to do is get passports for the Rugrats here, and then we should be good. So we'll set that one. We'll set that one up here pretty soon. So the Lord really, to be honest, for not being on deputation, the Lord has really, really blessed us so far. We've really had some good opportunities. Westgate has announced officially that they are taking us on for support, obviously. they will start taking us on starting January 1st. And then when we hit full-time deputation, they'll actually double our support. So I guess that's how they do it. I don't know. I don't ask questions. I just let the Lord bless. So we have not come up with a final number. We have done some rough math, and we believe that we're around 7,000 set to 7,500 probably a month is going to be our support level. That still needs to be approved by Baptist World Mission. So their financial people will take a look at it and see where we might have holes or anything like that, or excesses, and they'll help us with that. So currently puts us very close to 20%, which is pretty high for someone who's not on deputation yet. So that's a good thing. So I say all that to say that we are very blessed. The Lord has really worked a lot of things out for us. People wonder, is God in something? Well, you know God's in something when those doors open like that. So the Lord has clearly opened doors. So we go until He closes doors. So we're very excited about that. I said a lot, and I said it really fast because that's what I do. Does anybody have any questions of us that you have not had an opportunity to ask? Or maybe the others, if you have a question, probably others are thinking it too, but about anything I said or about anything with our future ministry? Oh, so let me, before you do that, one last thing. So essentially this time next year, November or so, our goal, the aviation classes should end this time next year. In fact, I had a final on Friday, and now that will be the same final next year that I'll be done with the entire program. So I should be done this time next year. I haven't failed a class yet, so assuming I don't fail a class and have to take one over or something, that's maybe an assumption. But we should be then planning to go full time on the road. Right around that time. So my guess is the way it'll work out is we'll be probably around the first of the year, just because December may not be a great time. But we'll see. So pray for that. I think one of the biggest needs right now that we have in terms of prayer, we don't need money, we have a God that takes care of that. But in terms of prayer, we are trying to figure out the process of selling our house and buying the truck and trailer and how that's going to look. So the transition there and how, you know, I know how I would like it to be. God doesn't always see it that way. So if you think, if you in your prayer for us, just pray that we would be able to figure that transition out. And then we're working on prayer cards. We have our we have a, I would call it kind of a business card. It's kind of a preliminary card that we have. It'll be smaller business card size that I have. It's in printing now. It should be here next week, I think he said. And then we have our youth pastor, the guy that we've been working with for years, Andy Olson. He is also a graphic designer, and so he has designed us a pretty cool design. It's he's really into branding. He likes branding, so he's created us a brand. I'm pretty sure you'll like it. It's pretty cool. It's pretty original. Yeah, you'll have to wait and see it. But so anyway, once we get those cards, we haven't completely developed the cards yet, so we're still trying to figure that out. We'll hopefully have those before the end of the year. And once we have those, we will get a stack down here for you. So and then we will be putting out prayer letter. I think we have to have those out before by January, 1st of January or so. So we're still developing that as well. So we'll be able to kind of keep you posted on that. I'll give you a hint, they all match. I like that. So anyway, any questions of me or her? No? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, totally. Yeah, so mission board, well, I suppose that there are different mission boards do different things. What we were looking for in a mission board, particularly, was the financial side, the ability to help us figure out the needed finances, so the support level that we would need. So someone who has experience with, maybe not Australia necessarily, but with missionaries going to different countries. It's clear that you're going to Ghana, it's going to be different than you going to Australia or going to South Africa or wherever you're going. So, but they do have quite varied experience, and they can pretty well predict, I think. They have, our mission board has one missionary in Australia. It just so happened they were there. We had been trying to contact them for the last couple years, actually. They are going to be nowhere close to us. They're in Perth, and they are about 3,500 miles away from where we're going. So very, very far away from us, all the way on the opposite side of the continent. But they were a blessing to us. They provided us a lot of information and help and everything, some of the things that we can do to get from the board, what the board can do for us. And one of those is the financials. Just trying to figure out what's a good estimate for electricity. What's a good estimate for? We have some missionaries that have left already now for Ghana, West Africa, and they had to leave. So they were leaving right after the board, and they were leaving their kids here with somebody so that they could go for 2 weeks or so, 2-3 weeks. They were going to go to Ghana because when you buy a house there, you buy a cement structure and nothing else. So there's no sink, there's no toilet, there's no running water, there's pipes, but there's no faucets, there's no fixtures, there's no anything. So you got to put it all in. So they went to Ghana for 2 weeks to go set all that up so that when they showed up with the kids, they actually had, you know, stuff, had a livable house. So we don't have to deal with that. So every country's a little bit different in that. We're not going to third world countries, so first world problems is what we're dealing with. But different ones, because it is different than here a little bit. So figuring out that part. Then another thing that the mission board does is they provide, I think they provide more for the pastor and the sending church than they do for the missionary himself. And I say that because there are a lot of things that a missionary himself cannot do, or is not going to be able to accomplish. For instance, taking in all the support money. The missionary, you can't do that. You're in a different country. So to have each church send international mail to you every month, it's just not feasible. So you need someone to help with that process. So either the church does it, or you have an individual or a family member or someone like that do it, but the impact usually is on the church. And so the financial side of it, in terms of that, the board does. You can all support goes to the board. The board collects it all. In fact, the way it works is the board sends us a W-2 every year for our support money, and then they separate out our missions money, our ministry money that can be tax deductible. And of course, they have the entire process worked out with the government, with the IRS, both the government in the United States and the government in Australia. And so they can give you the right paperwork that you need to show that you what's deductible and what's not, and all that kind of stuff. A process that's significantly more complicated when you're talking about two different countries that you're dealing with. So they provide that help there as well. I mentioned they do provide help with the visas, people I've talked to have used a lawyer to help them get the visas, just because it's a complicated process, and generally a lawyer in your host country is the key, especially if it's a first world country, which we are. So they recommend a lawyer, and they have experience with certain lawyers and know who's going to be helpful and who's not. And so that's a process that you're just guessing at if you don't have a board. The other thing is, when I say that they help the sending church, one of the things they do for the pastor, sending pastor, is they provide him accountability. So it would be difficult for a pastor to have too much accountability of a missionary, especially if they had more than one in different parts of the world. You can call, you can write, you can do all these kinds of things, but to have someone that can visit them every now and then, even if you may have a church that a sending church might not have the funds to be able to send the pastor all the way to wherever, to some country, once a year or every other year or whatever, and the mission board plans that part of that process out as well. So we have a missions director or a field director, which is in our case Brother Pat Delaney, and he goes and visits the missionaries when he has opportunity, and provides a report back to the descending church that lets them know that they're kind of following. They didn't go off the deep end and just hiding it from you, and so there's some accountability there too. We have the added blessing of having a pastor that's also family, and so I'm fairly certain that they'll be coming to visit every now and then, maybe more than Brother Pat Delaney. Also Pastor Jaquith is very not just missions minded. He likes to travel, so he takes the opportunity to visit his missionaries whenever he gets a chance. And so he's already, I don't know if I'm supposed to say it or not. I guess. Oh well, I'll take my chances. Always begging forgiveness. That's usually the way to go. Pastor Jaquith has asked me, he wants to go to Australia this year, this summer, and visit it so that he has a better idea of what our mission's goals are there. And so he would like he and I to go and take a trip there. I don't know how long that's going to be or exactly when. Likely probably August or September is my guess. And so we are probably going to make a trip there this summer. And that's a blessing too, sending church having, I have two pastors that want to go to see my field. We've talked to so many missionaries that have, we talked to one missionary that said the marshals when we were there, they said our sending church, the pastor moved on. I can't remember if he passed away or if he's gone. Anyway, their original pastor was gone. And the pastor that's there now said, look, we're going to keep sending you the checks for now. Just leave us alone. And that's pretty disturbing. Like, that's your sending church. And in order to change that, that means you've got to come back to the States and tell some pastor, hey, want to be my sending church? Like, that's a hard process to go through. You don't just change churches that easily. So that kind of makes them a little bit jaded. And I think for good reason. I mean, now you just don't expect anything from them, which is sad. And by no means was the only person that said that. We saw a lot of missionaries that said somewhat the same thing, essentially. yeah, don't expect anything from your sending church. I said, well, you don't know my sending church, so. I'm not worried about that. So so essentially, their mission board is their sender. That's all they really get support from. So it's sad. That's not how it should be. But it is nice to have a board that you can trust to help you with that stuff. So that's kind of the gist of what we kind of expect. Anything I missed on that? Oh yeah, that's true. They also they do help. They do help when there's an emergency too. They as far as medical goes too, they also, most boards provide a group medical plan, which is pretty big benefit in terms of medical plans nowadays and the cost of them. And so most of the boards provide that, some level of a group medical plan, and it has to be international. So it's still spendy, but it's better than nothing. And then they also provide emergency support. They've had opportunities, so churches can just, or individuals or anybody can just give to the board, and the board will just tuck it into a little account, and then it just stays there until someone needs it. They had a missionary, they were telling all kinds of stories. They've had all kinds of issues. They had one missionary, this blows me away. He said that they had a missionary that put all of their belongings in a container, and it got on the ship. Halfway across the Atlantic Ocean, that ship company got bought by another ship company. The ship stopped in the middle of the ocean, and the ship company said, we want payment, another payment, the exact payment, from all of those containers before that ship moves. So they had to pay twice for their shipping container because it got bought while it was in the middle of the ocean. And he said, we're just sitting there saying, wait, that's not legal. And before they went down all the roads, they realized that it was going to cost them more to prove it than it was to just pay the $2,500 again or whatever it was. I think he said $2,500. Anyway, they had to come up with $2,500 twice to pay for their container. So it was a twice bought container. There you go. He said that's not the way they planned it, but the missionary, of course, didn't have that kind of money. They had their support, and they had all of their outfit and passage money set, and it was all paid for. They weren't expecting another $2,500, so the mission board was able to use that fund to just cover that expense and make sure they get their stuff there. So we all know the world, that's how it works. Business can cause problems. So anyway, yeah, some of the things that they do. Any other questions or thoughts or anything I missed?
Question, I got some prayer from Brother Delaney being here. What other staff, are they supported the missionaries as well, or are they a percentage of your missionaries' support?
They do. It's a flat rate. I don't remember what it is. We have these videos we have to go through. We still haven't completed them yet. They are supported by the missionaries. So the missionaries, they take a flat rate. It's whatever it is, and it has nothing to do with how much your support is. It has to do with that you're a missionary. All missionaries, pay this flat rate, whatever it is, monthly. And I don't remember what the number is, but I do know that Pastor Dean, who was the assistant pastor at our church, he's now taking a church in California. They used to be missionaries in Mongolia with BWM, and he said that he remembered it, and he thought that it was like $100 or something like that a month. I don't remember what it is. Is it 300 or something like that? I don't know. It's not impactful, I don't think, to me. But yes, they are supported by the missionaries.
And most boards are, mm-hmm. but there's a few that where there's
significantly less, in fact, for this board than for other boards. Some of the other boards are significantly more. But in this case, we were kind of floundering at one point trying to decide which board to go with. We had some ideas. We were trying to go forward a little bit with a board, and Pastor Jake said, and I was asking him some questions, and he said, you know what, I want you to go forward with BWM. And I said, okay, that's what we do then. And the Lord used that, because sometimes you're like, well, wait a second, I have this over here, but God guides you through individuals at times, and sometimes, it's through your leadership. He hadn't had a real strong opinion before that. He was like, yeah, these all sound pretty good, and then at that point he said, you know what, let's try this one and we'll go forward. He had some comfortability with that group specifically, with the people that were in there. So the Lord blessed it. He has blessed it so much. So it was a blessing, definitely. Any other thoughts? Yeah.
We heard and were praying for you guys. We were going to come here, and we heard rumor about the Rebecca had an issue with it with her school.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I alluded to that earlier. So, yeah, the question came up. It says in the regulations, I guess I call them regulations. I'm from the Army. I don't know what they're called. The rules or practices or policies or whatever they're called. In the book, it said, it is recommended, and I'm saying this word for word, it is recommended that missionary wives have 30 hours of Bible. Full stop. So we said, okay, it's a recommendation. She doesn't have 30 hours of Bible. And so we moved forward. And it asked whether she did, and we said no. And so we didn't hide anything, obviously. We weren't trying to ignore it or anything like that. And then about August, so a couple months before the board actually happened, Dr. Kennedy, who's the deputation director, he called me one day and just said, hey, this may come up, the board may, they really like to see the wife have 30 hours of Bible. And I said, well, realize she homeschools five kids, well, four and a baby, and I don't see that happening in the next couple of years. He said, well, I'm not telling you that that's what they're saying, I'm just saying I think that they're kind of, the question is going to come up, so I just want you to be prepared. And so we had a great conversation. And so I went and talked to Pastor Jake and I said, hey, this is what he said. Pastor Jake said, well, he doesn't know Rebecca. And he wasn't claiming to, but he said, I think I need to call her. So he called her. And he said, well, I'm going to write a letter and send it to the board. And in fact, he sent it to Dr. Kennedy. By the way, Dr. Kennedy is not on the board. He works for the board. He's staff of the board. So he's actually not one of the board members. And so he said he will hold on to this letter, and he'll pull that out if he needs it. It's kind of just his in his back pocket kind of thing. And if it comes up, it comes up, and he'll have this. And it's a letter from Pastor Jacob, and Pastor Jacob wrote it, and he asked me to prove it. And so I looked at it. Basically just said, we won't commit to 38 hours of Bible, but if you demand something, we will see what we can do to get a class or two a year, maybe. Very non-committal. And he said, but he's the pastor said, I think that we would probably go with a different board, look at a different board if that's what they demanded. Not because they're wrong, but because it's just in the situation we're in, we're probably not going to go there. What we found out later, the deliberation that happened for an extensive period of time that ended up leaving us in the hall for a while with the other missionaries wondering what's going on. In fact, kind of frustrating the other missionaries because they're saying, well, we're right after you guys, so what's going on is delaying everything. We're like, I don't know. So turns out, we found out later that they were deliberating about that topic, or at least part of the time. When they got enough into the conversation, apparently Dr. Kennedy did not tell us this, another pastor told us this, apparently Dr. Kennedy did go ahead and pull out that letter from Pastor Jaquith, and the board's response was, if that's what Pastor Jaquith feels, then we will go with whatever he feels like.
Amen.
So we appreciated that sentiment from the board, yes, saying that we want to go with whatever the pastor says. And Pastor Jaquith was, he's not her dad, so it's different. He's able to be a little bit more objective. And I mean, not that he's not. I'm just saying, it's hard to be objective about your own kids. I'm just telling you. So in this case, Pastor Jake's response was, no, we're not doing that. I don't think that's reasonable in this situation. And so I was surprised. I wasn't expecting that from him. I thought he would be a little bit more a little bit more understanding about from their position, but he said, no, I just don't see that side. I think that's a cookie cutter situation, and we don't fall into that, and we never have, so that's nothing new. And so, yeah, we're good. I think the board was very happy, and they didn't bring it up at all. And in the meeting that we, so once we entered, they never brought it up. We only found out later that it had come up, so they were not concerned. and we had quite a few of them come up to us and give us congratulations for being approved, and so they all agreed. So.
Amen.
Any other thoughts? I know we're after 7 o'clock, so took up all the time. I'm gonna do this. I promise it'll be fast. I have a couple of thoughts, real quick, that I just wanna highlight. It's in Hebrews chapter 11. If you want to turn there real quick, we're gonna go through this, and I promise I won't even use my notes. You think you're gonna say that's bad because you're gonna just go sideways on it, but it's not. This is Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse 13. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. You've all read this many, many times. This is nothing. We don't have new revelation here or anything like that. So it's just a thought. But Hebrews chapter 11 says, verse 13, it's talking, and in Hebrews chapter 11 is all about, you know, it lines out all these people who were faithful. They were faithful. They were people that God deemed to be faithful, right? And so in chapter 11, we get down to verse 13. He's recounting. He says, these all died in faith. And this he highlights more after this, but he says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them. And get this here. And confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Most of us have probably memorized some portion of Hebrews 11, right? Maybe even this portion. So you've read this before. This is nothing new, right? For they that say such things are that they're strangers and pilgrims on the earth, right? That's what he's saying. Such things. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they'd been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had an opportunity to return. Now, I know you're thinking, wait a second, does that mean you're going to leave and never, ever, ever come back? No, that's not what I'm saying. I know that's what your thought is, but no, we are still Americans. We are not Australian. That said, he makes it clear that it is important that we are aware of the country to which we belong. It's important to Americans. Nationalism is a big deal. I'm not Russian, but I've heard a lot of stories about World War II, and even since then, Russians have had a history of pretty strong nationalism. There are many countries, Japanese. That may not be so much in Australia. In fact, only about 35% of Australians were born in Australia, so that's a pretty low number. But in most countries, there's a fairly strong nationalism. We love our country, right? But he's not talking about Jews. He's talking to the Hebrews, but he's not saying, do you love your country? That's not what he's asking, right? He said if they had been mindful of that country, he's talking about Abraham. Abraham didn't have a country. Abraham was from a country that God told him to leave and not be a part of anymore. So this country, he says, if they had been mindful of that country, they would have had opportunity to return. What does that mean? He's saying there that they might have had occasion, they might have had feelings of returning, going back to where they came from. What did that mean for Abraham? It didn't mean salvation, and he's not talking about salvation here. He's not saying, well, you know, I liked my life. You know, it was pretty good back then. I had food on the table at least. That's what the Israelites did when they came out of Egypt. They were mindful. It had occasion to return to that country. They didn't, at least not right away. Some did, but they had occasion to return because they took their eyes off of what the future, what the goal was, what the process was. That may not be friendly. It wasn't going to be a great thing to go hang out in the desert for 40 years, but understanding that God had a plan. And that plan might require you to fight and take a city, but that God was going to take it for you. There are parts of the process that we go through, and I'll put myself in an example. There are parts of this process that I am not thrilled about. There are parts that I just don't like. I can tell you that. There are times when I think, I don't want to do that part anymore. Let's just not. We can, right? It's all part of the process. You can't just abandon a portion. And so we can't be mindful of that country where we came from. Now, I'm not saying mindful of America. We will be coming back to America at some point, maybe not permanently, but we are still Americans. What I'm talking about is, and what he's talking about in Hebrews, is he's talking to Christians, and are we mindful of the country where we came from? What country did we come from? Well, if we're saved, we came from unsaved, the world of the unsaved, right? It's so easy to find ourselves liking the things that the world likes. And now, does that mean, well, you wear a suit, world wears a suit, business, you know, they go to their job, they wear a suit, should you not wear a suit because they wore a suit? No, that's not what we're saying. But are you living, I find myself so often living for those things that the world provides. It's so easy to get caught up in, I need this job because this job provides me the house I want and the cars that I want and the clothes and whatever it may be. We all have something different. Some people really value cars over houses. You all have seen it. How many apartment complexes with Mercedes in them? That's ridiculous. I can't, it just blows my mind. I would absolutely rather have the house than the car. I'll drive a Yugo if I have to, if I can have a car, if I can have a nice house, or at least a decent house that I can live in. I'm just saying, nothing against Yugos, but I'll drive a Ford even. It's possible, I know. I know. It's scary. I know. I maybe not. I guess I might have lied there. But we sometimes focus on what it is that this thing provides, whatever it is, that job. You know, I need a better paying job because I just can't get what I want off of this. And maybe that's the case. And I'm not saying that getting a better paying job is a bad thing. By no means am I saying that. All I'm saying is, what is our focus? Is our focus the things, the heavenly country? He goes on into verse, 16, I believe it is here, in verse 16. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly country. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. In John 14, we see that he has prepared for us a city. He's gone to prepare for us a city, right? So he has prepared for them a city. He's not ashamed to be... Can you imagine standing there and saying, and God saying, I am not ashamed to be called your God. In Ezekiel and Jeremiah, read through it. He's ashamed to be called their God. They have shamed him to the point where he said, I will destroy them till there's nothing left. I will start again with another group. And men pleaded for it. Moses pleaded for the nation of Israel. Jeremiah pleaded. Isaiah pleaded to God for the nation of Israel. Does that mean God would have killed them? I don't know. I can't go back. All I know is that the Bible says that they pleaded for the nation of Israel and God spared them. So to say that to stand before God one day and for him to be ashamed to be called my God, well, that's a scary thing. Now, does that mean that I won't be in heaven? No. The Bible says that in John, 1 John 5:13, we can know. We don't have to worry about that. But that doesn't mean that there won't be tears before the new heaven and the new earth. And so, do we want those tears? I want to be able to stand there and hear God say, not for my own pride, for his, to be able to stand there and say that he was not ashamed to be called my God. Because I was faithful. Because I believed that he could do these things, even though I couldn't see it. Even though the step ahead of me seems pretty bleak. And that seems like a rough path to go, and I don't want to do that path. But to know that he is behind it, and that I can trust him, even though I'm 90 years old and I don't see how I could have a baby. You know, she trusted him. Abraham trusted him. And God was not ashamed to be called their God. So I just want to encourage you that make sure you're careful about what country you seek. We seek Australia physically. We are still Americans, but we seek whatever God has. And if God changes that, you know, I've said all along, and maybe I say it too much, and I'm going to end up there. But if God ends up putting us in the middle of the jungle in Thailand, that's what God wants, and we will enjoy it, snakes and all. There are certainly worse places that God could have called us to than Australia, and maybe God will take us there. I don't know, but seeking His will and seeking that is so much better, and the joy and pleasure you get from it is amazing. And then to have God not be ashamed to be called your God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for those who were attentive tonight. I know we've gone over, and they have patiently sat and listened. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have to open your word. Every time we have the opportunity, you bless and you work in our hearts and our lives, and you use it for your honor and glory, Lord. We seek only that, only your honor and glory, and if you can be honored and glorified in a situation, then we have completed our mission, Lord. I pray that you would just continue to bless this church. We thank you for all they have meant to us personally, and Lord, I pray that you would just continue to bless this church. We know that you give abundantly to those who give to you, Lord, and this church has been shown proof of that over and over again, Lord, and I pray that you just continue to bless this church as they seek you and they seek to honor and glorify you, Lord. We thank you so much for them, and we thank you for the opportunity to be here. I pray all these things in your name. Amen.